Good morning, everyone. Please open with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we'll begin reading with verse 22. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. This is the account of Jesus and the storm. Luke chapter 8, verses 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he, that is Jesus, went into the ship with his disciples and said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there was some down in the there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him and said, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. May God bless the reading of his word. If you are a Christian, if you are a disciple of Jesus, if you are a follower of Christ, and you follow him wherever he would take you, then you will go through storms. And when I say storms, I don't mean the storm like we just had yesterday, snowstorm, or windstorm, or rainstorm. When I say storms, I mean the storms of life. Trials, temptations, difficulties, hardships. And when these storms come, you will need a faith that is big and a theology that is deep if you are going to survive that storm or those storms. And just like a pilot who is navigating a plane, when he enters a storm and he can't see what's in front of him, he must rely upon his instruments, upon his gauges, those things that he knows, those things that he trusts in. Otherwise, he's done for. And storms, the storms of life, have a way of revealing to us who we really are and where our faith really lies. And in this morning's text, the account that we read here in Luke chapter 8 of Jesus with his disciples as they went through a storm, we see that their faith was tested. The disciples' faith was tested. And they were pushed to the edge, in essence, of their very existence. And it revealed where their faith really stood. And many here in this room are or have gone through storms that have tested your faith and that test your faith. And if you haven't, you will at some point. Storms will come in your life. And like I said before, if you are going to make it, if you are going to survive, you will need a faith that is big and a theology that goes deep and that is firmly rooted and grounded in the Word of God. In the text that we read here this morning begins in verse 22, the opening phrase says this, and it came to pass on a certain day. A certain day is no particular day. It was just an ordinary day, just like any other day. And I'm sure when the disciples woke up that morning, they had no idea what was in store for them that day, what they were going to experience. They didn't expect what was going to happen. They expected that today would be just like any other day. But when Jesus said to them, in the next section here, it says, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. They probably thought to themselves, sure, no big deal. We've crossed this lake hundreds of times. I think many of them came from that area of Galilee. Several of them were fishermen themselves, so they were very, very familiar with being out on the water, with crossing back and forth in the lake. And they've crossed many times without having any trouble before. And even if they had come into trouble, they knew how to handle storms. They'd been in rough waters before. They'd been able to endure through the difficulties of being on the sea. This was, for them, just another day out on the Sea of Galilee. And similarly, I'm sure the feeling that they had, as it says here, that they launched forth, I'm sure the feeling that they had in that moment is much the same feeling that we experience when we begin another day. When we wake up in the morning, when we get up and get dressed and eat breakfast and head off to work or to school or to whatever our daily routine is, I'm sure we have much of the same expectation that they had when they set out on that boat that morning. The expectation that today would be just another day, just another boat ride, and that things, for the most part, would go according to plan, and that they would continue as they were. That's the feeling that they had, that's the feeling that we have as we begin each of our day. And to some degree, I think that is a very normal expectation. And it's not necessarily without cause, because the reality is that in most cases, things do continue as they have. And they go according to as we would expect them to. And there is a sense in which God has designed this universe and created this universe to function in a way that He has designed it to. He's created laws of nature that we can predict how things will come to pass. He's created rhythms. He's created seasons. And we get used to this reality of things just going the way that we would expect them to go. But in that, we can forget that there is a God who is in control of all things behind the scenes. A God who is sovereign over all things. A God who rules this universe. And ultimately, that nothing happens in this universe outside of His divine will. Psalm 136 verse 6 says, "Whatever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in the deep places." And whether we believe it or not, or whether things go the way we expect them to or not, God is in control and He is sovereign over all things. So when Jesus said to His disciples, "Let us go to the other side of the lake," I think it's important to notice that Jesus was the one that initiated this trip. He was the one that led His disciples into this boat and took them across the Sea of Galilee that day. He was their master and they were His disciples. And where Jesus leads them, they followed. We see that pattern and that discipleship that was taking place where Jesus had called them into this discipleship and they followed Him. Wherever He went, that is where they went. And in many ways, this is the case for all true disciples of God. I think of the words of Jesus when He says, "My sheep hear My voice and I know them and they follow Me." Where He leads, we follow. And no matter where He leads, we are to follow Him. Without question, just like the disciples who, when Jesus said, "Come, let's get into this boat and go to the other side of the lake," they followed Him in that same way. They obeyed and they followed Him. Now, had they known what was coming, I think it would have been much harder for them to get into that boat. But they didn't know what was coming. And I think in some ways that's one of the main reasons why God does not, in many cases, reveal to us the future. We in our humanity are limited to only what we can see in this time right now. We don't have the ability to see into the future unless God reveals that to us. And oftentimes He doesn't reveal to us the future. As much as we'd love to see what's ahead, I think any of us would love that ability. And we in many ways try to predict what's going to come, but really we don't know what's coming. We don't know what's coming. These things are hidden from us. It's not because God doesn't know what is coming. But he holds this from us for our own sakes. But on the other hand, Jesus knew exactly what was coming. When they launched forth, when He led them into that boat and called for them to cross over to the other side of the lake, He knew exactly what was coming. He knew that they were about to sail into the biggest storm, the most intense storm that these sturdy fishermen had ever been in before. And I don't think it's a coincidence that this storm hit right as they were out in the middle of that lake. I don't think it was a coincidence that it came. And I would go so far as to say that Jesus actually ordained that storm to be there in that moment. It was not a coincidence. And if Jesus didn't want that storm to be there, it wouldn't have been there. And if he wanted it to be there, it would be there. And it was there because Jesus had a purpose in allowing that storm to be there. He had a purpose for that storm and for leading his disciples right in to the middle of this ferocious storm. And I think this account is a perfect illustration of the reality that I spoke about earlier, that if you are a follower of Jesus, you will face storms in this life that are going to test your faith. You will experience storms in this life that will test your faith. And for me, as a pastor and as a minister of someone who divides the word of God, I have the responsibility to remind you and to prepare you for that. I have a God-given responsibility to remind you and prepare you for that fact that you will experience storms in this life that will test your faith. And as you chart your course on that narrow path that your feet have been set upon, remember that you will face difficulties. You will face trials and hardships that will test your faith and that will push you to your limits. Some more than others, admittedly. Some will experience great trials and great sufferings and great difficulties and huge storms, some smaller storms, but everyone in some way or another will experience storms in their life. And we can remember the words of Jesus as he said in John chapter 16, "In the world you will have tribulation." This is what Jesus said to his disciples. "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We follow in the footsteps of our master as he leads us. And a servant is no greater than his master, as Jesus said. And if Jesus experienced trials and difficulties and storms, we should expect nonetheless. Now, so Jesus, he leads them right into the middle of this storm. Like I said before, this was not a coincidence. Jesus had ordained this storm to be there at that moment, and he led them into it, and he had a purpose in leading his disciples into this storm. And when we start to think about just the reality of that fact, and we start to consider some of the difficult questions that come up as we try to grapple in our minds with the sovereignty of God in the light of, as it says in Hymn 177, the light of life's most trying woes, as it were, and the difficulties and the hardships and the trials and the storms that we face. It's hard for us to understand that, I think, and to grapple with those questions. And questions come up like, how could this be? How could God allow or even ordain something as dreadful as this storm, or in your case, any bad thing that would happen in your life, seemingly bad thing? How is it that God could ordain that? The cancer, financial troubles, a car accident, the death of a loved one, your house burns down, your parents get divorced, whatever the struggle is, whatever the trials, and there are many and they come in different forms, how is it that a good God could sovereignly allow or ordain those bad things to happen? Doesn't that go against the very nature of who God is, that he is good? And as we struggle with these questions, we have to look to the scriptures as our source of truth and trust that what it says, that God has a divine purpose in bringing these things to pass, even though from our human perspective, it's hard for us to see that and understand. And I understand the difficulty that people can experience. You know, we talk about this in theory and it sounds good, but the reality of it, when the rubber hits the road and we go through a trial or a storm or a difficulty and it's hard to process these things, we have to trust that, like it says in Romans chapter 8, that all things are working together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose, according to his divine purpose. He is sovereign over all things, even the bad things that happen in this life. And I think another illustration of this we can read about in John chapter 9, where, and we don't have time to turn there, but basically Jesus and his disciples come in contact with a man who was born blind from his birth. And as they pass this man, and they see this man who was born blind, that was a terrible thing, especially in that day. To be born blind was a horrible thing. And the disciples knew this, and they come to Jesus with a hard question, a difficult question. Clearly they're wrestling with these things in their mind. And they ask him, they say, who sinned, this man or his parents? And the assumption is that this bad thing that happened to this man was the result of some sin, and that that was the purpose or the reason for which that had happened. But Jesus corrects them in their wrong thinking. As he says in chapter 9, verse 3, he says, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but, and here's the purpose, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So as much as this was a bad thing that had happened from a human perspective, God was using it, ultimately using it, for good, and it was within his good purpose. And another example of that is Joseph. We look at the life of Joseph, and we see the struggles and the trials that he went through in his life, where he was betrayed by his brothers, he was sold into slavery, he was sent to Egypt, separated from his family, thrown into prison, all of these horrible things that happened to him. When we look at that, we see, how could this make any sense? How could this be good at all? How could God allow this to happen to someone like Joseph? But Joseph realized, and he had faith. Joseph was a man of faith, and in the end, he saw how God was working all these things together for good. It says in Genesis chapter 50, as Joseph is speaking to his brothers after things are reconciled and coming together, he says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. God had a good purpose in that. And God has purposes in what he does. And he is working all things after the counsel of his own will, as it says in Ephesians. So let's continue on in this narrative. So we see how God used this storm to accomplish his purpose in the lives of the disciples. So we come to verse 23, and it says, but as they sailed, he, that is Jesus, fell asleep. So Jesus was in the boat with them. He's traveling with them as they're going into this storm. And as they set sail, Jesus is in the back of the boat, and he falls asleep in the boat. And I want you to notice for a second here the peace that Jesus has as they are entering into this storm. I think there's some significance there. Again, remember, Jesus knew that this storm was coming. Jesus knew that they were riding into a ferocious, ferocious storm that was ahead of them. But Jesus is totally calm, and he's totally at peace, to the point that he's sleeping in the boat. Because he knows, and the reason is because he knows that there's really nothing to fear. Even as the storm begins, and water starts coming into the boat, and the wind kicks up, Jesus is still sleeping in the back of the boat until the point that the disciples actually wake him. And I think there's a point here to be seen in contrasting the faith that Jesus had, the firm faith and the trust that Jesus had, and the little faith that the disciples had. We see that contrast here, and we'll get more to that in a minute as we look into that. But it says here that there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. So this is no ordinary storm, like I said before. This is a great storm. That word there, there was a storm of wind, is the literal translation is a whirlwind or a tornado. Think of something so powerful that's coming down. And this storm was different than other storms that they had experienced. I think it was common. I don't know a lot of the history or the geography of that area, but I know that it was common for storms, just the way the geography is, for storms to quickly come and settle down upon that lake. So again, the disciples, those who were at least fishermen, would have been familiar and had known what it was like for a storm to come quickly. But this was different. This was something totally out of the league that they had ever experienced before. And it brought them to a point. It was so intense that they were literally sinking. It says that it was filling the boat with water, but the text actually says that they were filled with water. So it was completely filled with water, like a cup that's full. And they were on the verge of sinking. They were on the verge of going down in this lake. And sometimes the storms of life can feel that way. They bring us to a breaking point. They bring us to the point where everything is falling apart, where there's no other options, and we feel in many ways as though we're sinking. But it is in those moments, it's in those storms, in those difficult moments, that our faith is tested and that our faith is tried, just like it was for the disciples here. And when the storm was raging and Jesus was sleeping in the boat, which one looked more powerful in that moment? Which one looked more powerful? In that moment, all that the disciples could focus on was the storm that was around them. All that they could focus on was what they could see with their eyes and the peril of the situation that they were in. And in that moment, their faith was tested, and their anxiousness and their desperation in that moment revealed their lack of faith. As it says here, they came to Jesus and they awoke him and said, "Master and Master, we perish. This is it. We're dead. This is the end. We are all going to die, and this situation is completely, completely out of control." That's the point that they were at. And it is in that storm, in that moment when their faith was tried and tested, that their faith was weak and they failed. And as they looked with their eyes and as they felt with their skin, rather than trusting in the one who was in control over it all. And which looked more powerful to them in that moment, the raging storm or the Son of Man or the Son of God who was sleeping in the boat? And I think this is an important picture for us to see, because when we are hit with the storms of life, those storms almost always appear stronger than our low view of a God who is sovereign over all things. The storms always look stronger. They always seem stronger, as they did for the disciples in that moment. When Jesus was with them, he was with them in the boat. But the storm looks stronger to them. And our fair weather faith begins to fail as we focus on those things that are around us rather than focusing upon the Lord who is with us in the boat. It says in verse 24, "Then Jesus arose in that moment, after they woke him up, he arose, he rebuked the wind and the raging of the waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm." And Jesus spoke those words, "Peace be still," as it says in another one of the Gospels, "peace be still." And no sooner had those words left his mouth than the storm was calmed. Then everything was peaceful, and the disciples stood there completely dumbfounded. And Jesus asked them this question that goes out to all of us. And Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is your faith when the storms of life hit? Where does your faith rest in?" And I think for a lot of us here, we don't doubt that God has the power to calm the storms. But when the storms hit, our faith is tested. Though we may say that with our lips, when the rubber hits the road, like the saying goes, our faith is truly tested, and it reveals whether or not we actually believe what we think and what we say, what we would say with our lips and what we believe in our minds, whether it actually has sunk deep into our heart. And we're questioned, do we really believe that he is in full control of this storm, that nothing happens outside of his sovereign will, and that he is working all things together for good according to his purposes, and that he will hold us fast and see us through? Do we trust what we can see with our eyes? That's the question. Do we trust what we can see with our eyes? Or are we looking with the eyes of faith? Are we walking by faith and not by sight? Or do we trust in what we can see with those things that are around us? Is our faith a fair weather faith? Is it a faith that is only there when things are going well, when things are as we expect them to go, but really when it's tested, when it's tried, does it endure? Is it a fair weather faith? Or do we believe and trust that Jesus has the power to calm the storms if he chooses in that moment? He may bring us to that end point, that point that almost completely breaks us when we have no other options. That's where he brought the disciples to in that moment. That's where he brought them to the point where they had absolutely no other options. And in that moment, That's when they said, we perish. This is it. We're done for. It's over. We're going to die. Do we believe and trust that Jesus has the power to calm the storm if he chooses? And that Jesus is the same God that it speaks about in the verse that I read before earlier in Psalm 135, where it says, for I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the deep places. It is he who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the winds from his storehouses. Our faith and our trust in God in the storms of life is all wrapped up in our view of God's sovereignty and his power and his control over all things. And for his disciples, this experience revealed their lack of faith. But it opened their eyes to see Jesus for who he really was in that moment. As Jesus calmed that storm, and they were in awe, they were dumbfounded, they couldn't believe what they saw. Where it says, and they said in verse 25, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. And as their eyes were opened to the sovereignty of God, that he is in control of all things, that whatever he pleases he does on heaven, in heaven and in earth, and that he is able and that he is faithful to keep his promises, they learned that having a deep theology and a big faith was the only thing that could give them true and lasting peace. And they would face many trials, many storms, many difficulties in their faith. And we see that as their faith grew and as their understanding of who Jesus was, this experience opened their eyes to see the reality of who Jesus was, that he is in fact in control over all things. As their faith grew and their theology was deepened, it brought them a peace that would give them the strength and the ability to endure through the storms that they would face in their life. And it is the same for each of us. And it's a peace that this world does not have because it does not have faith and it does not have that view of God. And you cannot have that faith and you cannot have that same peace without that same faith that is required. And I don't know what storms in life you will go through and you will face. I don't know what purposes God has in bringing those storms into your life. And I don't know how God is going to save you in those storms. But I want to encourage you to remember those two things. First of all, that God is sovereign, that he is in control, and that he keeps his promises. A couple verses that speak to this. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not. These are promises that we can cling to. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. We can trust and cling to these promises in the deepest storms of life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Keep these promises in view, brothers and sisters. Hold on to these things. Cling to these things. When the storms of life come and the boat is sinking and the storm is raging all around you, we can have a firm foundation in the Word of God and trust that he is in control and that the Lord is on our side. As it says in a hymn that we sing in the gospel hymns, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and the winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, as it says in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.